We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
So much has changed about our lives, the way we shop, play, work, and learn, especially how we experience healthcare. Today and always, Forest General Hospital is doing everything possible to ensure your health and safety. The experienced team of professionals provides the latest treatment options with the warmth and compassion you deserve. We do what is best for our patients. It's our mission. It is why we are here. Forest General Hospital. Warm service, safe environment, exceptional care. Visit ForestGeneral.com for more information.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Inside Southern Miss Athletics, our weekly look behind the scenes of Golden Eagle Athletics. John Cox joined today by three Golden Eagle legends, and including our first guest in a moment. That'll be former Golden Eagle basketball great Clarence Weatherspoon. We'll also visit with the women's soccer coach for the Golden Eagles, Hamed Elzeri, and we'll also sit down and visit with former Golden Eagle quarterback Lee Roberts. But first up, Clarence Weatherspoon, who really doesn't need an introduction. And Clarence, before we get into some other stuff, tell everybody just a little bit about how you wound up at Southern Miss. What was it about Southern Miss? Who was it about Southern Miss that convinced you that's where you needed to go to continue your basketball career?
Well, I think, Southern Miss, Coach Turk, his staff, Coach Moore, Coach McGinnis, those guys did a great job of, showing me how I can be a part of a winning tradition and a winning team and coming to a winning culture. So, they did an excellent job, and it came down between Auburn and Tennessee and USM and the style of play. And they got me down to the right games, John. You know, the games, every game was exciting, and they won, and we was on TV.
You were a guy who was, as I said, recruited by just about everybody that was looking for a guy that could do the things that you could do. But you're saying it was Coach Turk, Coach McGinnis, Coach Moore, those guys that really kind of convinced you that you could really kind of thrive in the Southern Miss atmosphere.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I say, when it came down to for games and on recruiting visits and stuff, they put you with the guys, and those are the same guys you saw playing out there. You know, you saw Randolph, Casey, John, Derrick, and all those guys out there playing. So, I'm saying, well, hey, we're about the same height, the same. We can do similar things out there. And Coach let them play, and they was having so much fun, shooting a three ball, running, dunking, just doing exciting things on the floor back then.
Had you been to Southern Miss games before that, before you came kind of a recruiting visit? Had you been to the Coliseum and watched the Eagles play before you were being recruited?
Well, I came to camp. I had came to basketball camp. And so, like I say, when I came back, when they really started recruiting me heavily and getting a chance to see campus and see everything and, like I say, see the excitement. It was the excitement level was so high. And plus my junior year, those guys won the NIT tournament. So, now you're seeing them guys on TV. So, you know, growing up in a little small Crawford, Mississippi, being on TV, the only people we know from that was on TV was Jerry Rice. So, I want to be on TV like Jerry Rice. So, they gave me that thought in my head that, I can go to a place in state, stay at home, play the style I wanted to play and be on TV and it was a great situation, a great fit for me. And plus I had family in the region. My older sister was teaching school at East Marion High School, so I had been down there and visiting and staying with her sometimes during the summer, so I was familiar with the area.
When you got to Southern Miss, and knowing you now, knowing the confident guy that you are, I'm sure you thought right away, I can play at this level, I can be dominant at this level. But was it as easy as you thought it would be when you got to Southern Miss?
No, it wasn't easy. It was a lot of hard work put in. Like I say, getting a chance, I had good confidence coming out of high school that I could play on the Division I level. I just wanted to be in a style that fit me. And like I say, the style that Coach Turk, played in the way he coached, fast-paced movement, like I say, getting up and down the floor, shooting threes, throwing lobs. Back then, wasn't very many teams playing at that pace. So, being an undersized forward, you want to be in a situation that gave you space and room. And, I played early and got better and better every year. So, blossomed into a solid player.
Visiting with Clarence Weatherspoon, one of the all-time greats at Southern Miss, now an assistant coach on Coach Jade Ladner's basketball staff here at Southern Miss, as he's taken us inside Southern Miss athletics. Of course, you were surrounded by some really good players. People forget about that sometimes. It was a tremendous team from top to bottom, and guys that could all do just that one maybe special thing, but then also kind of combine that with a team to make it successful.
Yeah, that was another thing. During that time, they was recruiting. High-level guys. We had guys that came in with me and guys that was before me. You're talking about a Darren Chancellor was an all-league player, a Russell Johnson, Darren Jenkins, a Bernard Hassley, all-state player of the year. And it goes on and on. Dallas Dale was led the Metro Conference assist leader for so many years. So, we had 7, 8, 9, 10 players that we was deep and like I said, we had a chance to grow together 3 or 4 years. So, anytime you have a nucleus put together like that, you're going to have a chance at having success of everybody buy in. So, like I say, I can't take all the credit for being, I was just one of the screws and bolts and parts of a really good team and really good recruiting classes.
Well, knowing you like I do, and you're a hard worker in everything that you do, so when you got there, I'm sure there's some things you felt like you had to get better at, and you went right to work doing that, but it probably wasn't as easy maybe as you made it look when you first got there.
Well, funny thing you said in practice the other day, Blake Roberts and Tate, they're from the Hattiesburg, Oak Grove area, so they was like, Coach, could you shoot free throws and could you shoot it, Coach? I was like, no. I had to get better. And those are some of the areas that, once you understand your strengths and weaknesses, you always try to do the things you do well and work on the things you do not so good. So, that's the mentality I had, to work on my game and get better. And, back then we had the old sports arena on campus where, that's where we really got, worked on your game, man. Now you work in complexes and everything. We went to the sports arena where it was, no air conditioning, just heat and competition. So that's where I got better playing against my teammates and other guys to work on your game.
When Clarence Weatherspoon looks back at his career at Southern Miss, what are some things you're proudest of that you and your team were able to accomplish while you were there?
Well, I think some of my most proudest moments was when we learned that we could be a good team. once we learned that we can win on the road, and once we got that confidence, my sophomore year on that team of my sophomore year, when we first made it to the NCAA tournament, you know, we wasn't thinking NCAA tournament. We were just trying to figure out a way to win games. And before you knew it, we won 18, 19, 20 games. And then it started to dawn on us that we got a really chance at being a good team. And that same year, we took Louisville to down the wire on the coast for the conference championship, which was a great game. And I think that was one of the light bulb moments when we was in that conference championship game, and we was toe-to-toe with Louisville with a chance to win conference championship outright.
You know, it's funny you say that. I was sitting there thinking about Louisville and the times we played at Freedom Hall, and they had great teams and 18, 19,000 people in there cheering for Louisville. But there were a lot of times that when the game was over and the Eagles might have won or had been a close ball game, that they'd give you or your teammates a standing ovation in one of the toughest places to play in college basketball.
Yeah, you know, they Louisville up there, that old Freedom Hall, you know, their fan base was basketball-based. So, you know, they had seen a lot of great basketball from years and years, but they were real courteous and welcoming and fans. You know, they got on you during the game, but it was a great environment to play in. I think the whole league was a great environment. You know, you can't say nothing but good things about the environment at Memphis, tough going into Cincinnati, Florida State, South Carolina, Tulane, all those teams that had environment. So, you know, the Metro Conference was really tough. And like I say, that sophomore year when we got to that level that we knew we could compete and winning games on the road in conference and playing for a conference championship and, you know, hearing our name called for to go to the NCAA tournament, you know, we didn't know how big it was, but, you know, for Coach Turk, the university, city, and the staff, you know, it was really bigger than we even knew, that being the first team to get an NCAA bid, playing for a championship in a league that, you know, we had just been in for a couple years. So the growth of the program, you know, that was really big.
All the things that you accomplished, all your teammates and you accomplished at Southern Miss, are going to be there forever. No question about that. You then finish up your career, freshman of the year in the Metro Conference and three consecutive years as the player of the year in the old Metro Conference. And now you're going to turn the next page and go play professional basketball. I'm sure that was a goal of yours. And how did you feel as that sort of approach when that draft first came up and you knew your name was going to come up somewhere in that draft?
Well, you know, it was a special feeling. I think it was a feeling of reward for, you know, 4 years of dedication to the program, getting better as a player, getting better as a person. So when you get a chance to be a part of something like the draft, you know, that's another one of those moments you don't know how big it is until you get there. You know, you had never experienced anything about anything like that. So now you're getting invited to the draft and you knew you was going to be one of those selections somewhere, you know. So I was more proud for my family and my mother to see that, you know, to see it all come together. And once you hear your name, then you know it really happened. So, you know, it was a great experience.
I'd say especially for your family. They had and your mom and your family have given so much to help you get to where you are. To have it sort of pay off with something like that had to be special.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, it was a whole team of people, family. I could look back at the times Coach Granderson put us in the pickup truck, came and picked us up and took us to practice, you know. Stuff like that, you know. You never know, you know, what's going to be in the future. You always try to work to progress towards the future. So, you know, you have to, you know, be humble enough to appreciate all the help and all the guidance that you receive as a youngster growing up in family and community, and pride is definitely a big part of it. And I think, like I say, that was the accumulation of all that and all the energy and effort you had put into developing yourself as an individual, a student, and an athlete to be drafted.
We will talk on another podcast about your professional career, but let's talk about now coaching basketball back at your alma mater, coaching at Southern Miss, and kind of trying to teach the guys that you coach now. I'm sure some of the things you learned from Coach Granderson, Coach Turk, Coach McInnes, Coach Moore, all those guys that had such an effect on you.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I never thought I would be back coaching on this level or anything like that. But once I got into it and dedicated myself to doing it, it's been a lot of fun. And you always want that competitive edge come out. It always tug at your earlobe saying, you know, we can do it, we can get after it. But, you know, you got to teach it now and experience it through your players and that way. But, you know, being a part of, you know, I'm thankful for Coach Sadler for giving me the opportunity to interview for position as a coach, and Coach Loudner for bringing me back on staff to be a part of it. But, you know, one of my big motivation is seeing basketball get back to where, you know, we constantly win. And, you know, like I say, it's ebbs and flows and everything. You know, Coach Turk has great teams. Coach Green, you know, all the coaches after that went on down the line that done had ups and runs, but done had ups and downs with it. So you have to keep it going through all the coaches to try to rebuild it. And I just want to be a part of the coach that and staff that got it back to or helped get it back to a level of winning.
It's such a special place. I spent my lifetime there. You have spent most of your life at Southern Miss. And I'm like you. You want to see it get back to where we want it to be, where we've seen it to be, because we know how special it can be.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I say, each coach pass it on to the next coach. Each set of players pass it on to the next set. But you want to get it to where, you know, it's a constant thing where it's competitive. You winning games, the fans and ring green, making noise, beating on the rails, getting the dunk corner back, getting, the router rail back, getting the fans and the students back into involved in basketball.
Clarence, thanks for taking the time to visit with us today on Inside Southern Miss Athletics. I don't know anybody that's a Southern Miss fan doesn't know your name and appreciates all you've given and are still giving to Southern Miss. So thanks for the visit today. Thanks for all you're doing. And let's get it going. Let's get those basketball wins collecting up again at Southern Miss.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been a pleasure to be a part of it for so many years, and hopefully we continue to grow, and Coach Loudner and our staff can have success in bringing it back to that level. But you know, I just want to say to the fans and everyone listening, just stick with us and continue to support us. You know, we're building, and we're building towards better things in the future.
Spoon, appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
All right, that's Clarence Weatherspoon, one of the all-time greats at Southern Miss, now an assistant coach here at Southern Miss under Coach Jay Loudner. When we come back, we'll continue on Inside Southern Miss Athletics. We'll talk women's soccer at Southern Miss. That's coming up right after this. This is Inside Southern Miss Athletics.
Pine Belt Trophy is a proud sponsor of Southern Miss Athletics and has been an Eagles supporter for over 20 years. Pine Belt Trophy offers laser engraving, glass edging, hand engraving for specialty items, and all of your trophy and award needs. Pine Belt Trophy is conveniently located at 905 Hardy Street. Call Jimmy Moore at 601-582-9273. Pine Belt Trophy says go Eagles and Southern Miss to the top.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Bad internet is bad for business. We've all been there. Lagging video chats.
I don't remember what I said.
Slow downloads.
Oh, come on.
It's just not a good look. Instead, call C Spire Business. Our local experts deliver gigabit speeds backed by thousands of miles of fiber for the fastest, most reliable internet around. Period. No excuses, no apologies. Just fiber-fast internet that works. C Spire Business. See how our fiber solutions can help power your success at cspirebusiness.com.
The Keg and Barrel in Hattiesburg is a proud sponsor of Southern Miss Athletics and wishes the Golden Eagles the best of luck during the season. The Keg and Barrel is located at 1315 Hardy Street in a 100-year-old home and has a full food menu. The Keg and Barrel is open for business 7 days a week and are proud sponsors of Southern Miss Athletics and Golden Eagle Baseball.
And welcome back, everybody, to Inside Southern Miss Athletics, our weekly look behind the scenes of Golden Eagle Athletics. Going to turn our attention now to women's soccer and, more importantly, women's soccer here at the University of Southern Mississippi. The Lady Eagle soccer team just finished a magical run that took them into the championship game of the Conference USA Championships a couple of weeks ago. We are joined by the coach of that team, Mohamed El-Zehra, who is the head women's soccer coach here at Southern Miss. And Mo, it was a magical run. I don't know that you may have seen it coming. I'm not sure the average Golden Eagle fan might have seen it coming, but did you sort of see the team getting better and better, and you guys were in position maybe to make a run at the championship?
Well, first, thank you. You know, this has been a work of many seasons. You know, it started in the recruitment of our student athletes, especially our senior class, who's done a phenomenal job. You know, Kendall Mindick and Ariel Diaz, Macy Pennington, Alice Campos, and Sam Stiglmar. Those seniors did a tremendous job. But also, you know, when we recruited them, you know, several years ago, and that was our plan, is to grow with those leaders that we have, but also the addition of Ileana Izquierdo, Blessing Kingsley, Ryan Smith, and Adara Nakano, Mia Sadler, just a few, and I'm sorry if I don't mention everyone, but just a few of our younger players that have contributed immensely. You know, the leadership of Maddie Flamia and Tay Collum in the center back, leading our back line. So it's a mixture of youth and seasoned players, and for us to, we've built on that. And but the one thing that really makes me proud is that every game we're in the front foot, every game we are in the attack, every game we are in positions to score, and playing in an exciting brand of soccer that the will to win exceeds the fear of losing. That means you got to get more numbers forward. And for us, this is something that it's the main pillar of our philosophy. And for us to play that brand of soccer and still push teams and be on the front foot and score and attack is something that, you know, I'm proud of. And then the results, it's a byproduct of the work that we've built on the field.
You never know what's going to happen during the course of the season, but was there a point in the year where you thought this team had sort of put it together and you had a chance to play for a championship?
Well, you know, you take it one game at a time. But the quality of what we did on the field, playing against SEC opponents, you know, taking LSU to just a minute before time and being short one, taking Alabama, who is in the tournament right now, you know, to almost a tie game and lose in the second overtime. You know, those games made us tougher, made us more resilient. And then you look at, you know, the conference matches. You know, we playing against a team that went to the Sweet 16 like Rice, and you know, just totally controlling the ball from minute one to minute 90 and winning, you know, the game. You know, that is, you know, in overtime, that was one of the key moments that we felt, you know what, we got this, you know. And, you know, going back to Dallas against North Texas and, you know, beating them last year, you know, you have a bullseye on your back when you're playing those teams, and be able to get a result in Denton was huge. being able for 7 out of 8 weeks during the season to stay number one in the West is not an easy task. The focus, paying attention to details on how they executed on the field, our student athletes and the staff, how they've prepared them, takes a lot of commitment and staying in the game. I cannot be more proud on how everybody has performed.
Mohamed El-Zara is the head women's soccer coach here at the University of Southern Mississippi, spending some time with us today as we go inside Southern Miss Athletics. Has the success of this team over the last few years kind of increased your picture out there in the soccer world in regards to potential young ladies who might want to come play soccer at Southern Miss?
Well, you know, like I said before, being able to compete against, our strength of schedule, for example, our non-conference schedule, we do not play soft games. We're playing SEC opponents, and in recent years, we've beat some of them. We've even had a great result against Auburn, about a year ago. So that prepares us. That attracts the attention of our recruits, that they're playing 3 or 4 or 5 games that are SEC teams, and then obviously a lot of other teams that are strong in the RPI. That is huge. The philosophy on how we play, coaches there, club coaches, high school coaches, are starting to follow the program, watch us play, and they see the brand of soccer that we play is not only just playing to win, but also we're playing a possession attacking oriented style of play that is appealing to soccer players. They want, we want to be on the ball. We want to control the ball. And we believe that if you can control the ball, you can control the game. And playing that kind of, and you're taking the game to the opponent, into the opponent's half, it's not an easy style of play. It takes a good team shape, team organization. It takes players that are willing to defend higher up the field with a lot of space and behind them. That it requires players to be brave, aggressive, yet confident and organized. So it's that brand appeals to a lot of players out there that like to attack, and so that's kind of our mentality, our way of playing. But also, in order to even play that game, we have to be very good organizational defensively, being able to counter press and stop the opponent from advancing. So that is something that attracts a lot of the players, the schedule, the way we play, the way we take care of our student athletes' needs in terms of preparing them, their life skills, preparing them beyond their performance on the field. We do deeply care about the mental health and wellness of our student athletes. Parents see that. They see that our players not only grow and become better players on the field, but they become better citizens and better people. So those are things that, I feel that it's in the core of our philosophy. We don't worry about the results. We worry about the process, and we enjoy the process. And we enjoy the unity and the camaraderie that we have within our culture. And those are the things that I feel that makes us separate, different. I get a lot of times coaches saying, hey, we feel that your team is a strong knit. And we are very intentional and deliberate about that. We invest a lot on the development, the personal development of our student athletes, and that helps a lot on the field. But really, we care for them beyond the field, and that's what makes us difference, I believe.
as close as you got to winning the championship, making it to the NCAA tournament, does that kind of motivate your young ladies to maybe work even harder to say, okay, we got that close, but maybe a little bit more, we can make that jump?
Well, I'll tell you, I was thinking about it the other day, looking back from where we went the first time into the final and this one. This one is totally different, and it was harder because you had a bullseye on you. But the brand of soccer that we played had a lot of bravery, courage, attacking, creativity, being on the front foot. In the first time, it was a lot of work, but we were more sitting back and drawing the opponent, and hopefully we can catch them, and hopefully we can hold on to our life for the result. So the shift is now we are controlling the ball. We are, and we hope that we continue in that path, but we are playing a different brand of soccer that, and hopefully that results over time to taking it to that next level. You know, we feel that we played well in the final. We had our chances, and against the run of play, we fell short, and it was very difficult to get back. But, going forward, we know that there's a lot of things that we can improve on, but there is not even a second in my mind that, every player there did everything that they had, and it's you win some and you fall short some, and it's part of life. You know, we're going to bounce back.
Well, we appreciate everything you're doing for women's soccer at Southern Miss and the great effort your Lady Eagles put in this year, coming that close to a championship. Keep up the good work. We're proud of you. We're looking forward to an exciting soccer season again next year. Thanks for taking the time out to visit with us, and best of luck as the off season begins for your soccer team.
Well, thank you so much, and we're starting next week back to putting the dirty work in December and January and February, so we can enjoy, the wins in August, September, and October.
That is Mohamed Elzera. He's the head women's soccer coach at Southern Miss. Again, a great year for the Lady Eagles soccer team, coming just that close to winning the Conference USA Championship. When we come back, we'll talk more Golden Eagle athletics here on Inside Southern Miss Athletics.
Golden Eagle fans, score a home run place to live with our newest sponsor, Reserve Long Point Apartment Homes, located on the corner of 7th Street and Beverly Hills Road. With three great communities serving the Southern Miss community, you can be sure to find the perfect luxury living accommodations to meet your needs. The Reserve at Long Point is a proud sponsor of Southern Miss baseball.
In sports, success is measured in the number of points scored, in games won, and in championships earned. At Shelter Insurance, we measure success in the quality of our products and services, in how we support our communities, in being there when you need us most. In fact, 9 out of 10 people surveyed with a claim would recommend Shelter to a friend. To find out how Shelter can be there for you, visit shelterinsurance.com. We're your shield. We're your shelter.
Okay, my name's not Smokey, and I'm certainly not a bear, but I do come bearing an important message regarding wildfires. If it's a windy day, don't burn, and make sure you're not under a burn ban. Because like the slogan says, only you can prevent wildfires. I know, it sounds better when he says it. So pretend it came from a big furry bear in a ranger hat. And visit msforestry.com for more wildfire prevention tips. A message from the Mississippi Forestry Commission through a grant from the USDA Forest Service.
And welcome back, everybody, to Inside Southern Miss Athletics, our weekly look behind the scenes of Golden Eagle Athletics. John Cox with you, and we're going to spend some time now with Lee Roberts, former Golden Eagle quarterback, and now my partner, the radio analyst for Golden Eagle football. And so Lee's going to spend some time with us. And Lee, start off first, I guess, for people who may not know your story, how you sort of wound up at Southern Miss. Grew up in around Pace, Florida, played football down there, but you wound
wound up at Southern Miss. What about that? How did that happen?
You know, I was down in high school at Pace, Florida, played behind a guy named Thad Busby. So I only had an opportunity to really play for 1 year in high school. But my head coach, Mickey Lindsey, knew Mike Tolleson at Southern Miss. And, you know, the recruiting process is really crazy. I got recruited a pretty good bit by the Bowdens. Jeff was here at Southern Miss. I went to the Bowden Academy. You know, and so that's kind of how I got noticed mostly, was just through a camp. And, you know, but again, had the opportunity my senior year to get to come out to Southern Miss and really didn't know a whole lot about it. So it really was more my head coach having a relationship with an assistant coach at Southern Miss, and, you know, just kind of got that ball started. And honestly, it was kind of a process that was really late my senior year, and ended up coming out to Southern Miss and taking an official visit. I never really even came on an unofficial visit, which was where you come out for a weekend and, you know, spend the weekend watching a game and just kind of getting to tour the city and the campus. But never had that opportunity. But when I did come for the official visit for the full weekend, I got a chance to sit down with Coach Bauer, and at that point, he had offered me a scholarship. Previous to that, he had come to my house and, you know, visited with my parents and myself as well. And, you know, Coach Bauer was obviously a dad away from home, a guy that I respected and loved dearly, and my parents loved him as well. And it was just a great fit.
What was that the main reason you decided to pick Southern Miss? What sort of kind of tipped it in Southern Miss's way that that's where you wanted to play football?
You know, one, it was the tradition at Southern Miss. And, you know, I started to learn a lot about what the Golden Eagle tradition was all about, and again, just kind of what Coach Bauer had done, and just the history, the players that had come through before me, the Colliers, the Favres, those kind of guys, and obviously somewhat of a quarterback factory, and we kind of know how it's been, you know, since then. We've produced a lot of great quarterbacks, but, you know, and two, it was, you know, so the tradition, one, two, it really was the closest university to my hometown. You know, Florida State was 180, you know, something miles. Hattiesburg was a little bit less, so it was the closest Division I school to Pace, Florida, and again, it was a great opportunity where my parents could make the home game trips and could make some road games as well, so it was awesome.
Talk about your early days at Southern Miss. What was that like, trying to get on the radar with the coaches and finally getting a chance to play?
You know, I came in as a freshman, and, you know, as a freshman, you come in, you really want to play right away, and you know, the good Lord, you know, taught me some patience through that time. I had to really work my tail off, and it was kind of interesting. I was redshirted my first year, which was, you look back, and it was a blessing because you got to practice. You got to, I dressed out in home games. I got to travel, won away game. So you really got to take things in. There wasn't that four-game playing experience like they have now. I wish that would have been the case. But, you know, so I got to kind of see it from afar. Got to learn really what Southern Miss football was about, learn the system under Coach Norman Joseph, the offensive coordinator at the time. You know, and so it was really after that point in the spring where I really was able to start and compete. But during my true freshman years, when Heath Graham, who was just a year older than me, took over as a starting quarterback, and, you know, I almost kind of felt like it was going to be a similar situation in high school. I'm playing behind a guy that is just a year older, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to have to sit and wait for a while. But what it did, it just really made me compete and continue to work hard. And that was really what happened in 1996. I just kind of turned the corner and things started really going well in practice. Honestly, there wasn't a whole lot of playing time in 95 or early part of 96. It was really what I was able to do on the practice field that really took the eyes of the coaches.
Did you play in high school in a system similar to what you played in at Southern Miss?
You know, not really. I mean, we were more of a run-style offense at Pace. I mean, we did do some I-backs, some play actions. We would throw some post routes, some post corners. And, you know, and back then we did that at Southern Miss as well. But I wouldn't say the systems were exact or really even that familiar with each other.
Lee Roberts visiting with us. He, of course, is our analyst on our radio broadcast of Southern Miss football and former Golden Eagle quarterback, led the Golden Eagles to a couple of Conference USA championships. What was that first year like for you before you, and we'll tell the story in a minute about how you finally got a chance in 96 to move into the starting lineup, but what was that wait like for you? Was it hard? Was it, you know, did you use that for it to get better? How did you kind of feel about that wait to finally get a chance to play?
You know, it was hard, but that's what you want. I mean, you want to, you know, see yourself in that role, and you want to be able to compete, and the coaches want to see you compete. And, you know, and that's exactly what I did. I mean, I was running scout team quarterback. I was you know, running. I technically was not even the backup quarterback on the depth chart, so I wasn't getting a whole lot of two reps with the twos, but I was the placeholder, you know, so I was kind of on the field. I was able to do things, kind of keep myself engaged, you know, in practice and in games and, you know, really keep myself in there. But it really was the preparation that I was able to do, you know, prior to starting again. You know, the hard work on the field, the staying after practice, throwing routes, really just trying to improve my game is what made the coach just notice me.
Well, I'm going to let you tell the story. I tell it all the time, but 1996, about, I guess, four games into the season, Coach Bauer says we're going to make a change at quarterback, have an open date the following week, and then a game at night on ESPN against East Carolina a couple of weeks later. How did Lee Roberts then become the starting quarterback?
You know, it was interesting because if you'd have looked at our record, I think we were 4-1 at the time, so I think it was maybe the sixth game of the year, had beat Georgia to open the 1996 season, but offensively our production was just not great, and so they decided to make a quarterback change, and again they went with me, one, because of what they'd seen in practice. Chris Windsor was our backup quarterback. He did some short yardage things, and you know, Coach Bauer will kind of tell you, hey, you know, when they named a new starter, everybody was thinking it was going to be Windsor, and when they named Lee Roberts, it kind of took everybody by surprise. But for me, you know, it was what I had worked for. Coach Joseph had called me in his office one Monday morning and told me that they were going to make the change. And, you know, again, that's what you work for. You work for that opportunity to get that time to shine and to start. And, you know, I try to take advantage of it. And, you know, obviously went right home and told my wife and called my parents, and I ended up calling my high school coaches. So it was, again, a dream come true.
Yeah, that was the other factor in the Lee Roberts story. You're a young quarterback trying to play a little football at Southern Miss, but you're also married at the same time, which was kind of unusual back then.
You know, it was. Later in my career, I guess there were a couple different guys that were married, but at the time I might have been the only one that was married, and you know, had dated Tracy all through high school. She came to Hattiesburg and to Southern Miss with me, and again we got engaged as 18-year-olds, got married as 20-year-olds, and you know, that later that year is when I became the starter. And so a lot of people would probably say, hey, probably not the best thing for a young man to get married in college because it might lose your focus, but me, I think it helped my focus and, you know, helped our relationship. It helped us both focus on school, me focus on sports, and it was definitely a great decision by both of us.
All right, real quick, now you finally are the starter, and a couple of weeks later at East Carolina, under the lights, Thursday night, ESPN, you make your first career start, really your first extended playing time, lead the Golden Eagles to a victory, and the rest is kind of history.
You know, it is, and again, just credit the, you know, the coaching staff, the team, just for the confidence in me. And, you know, when I was named starter again, I had guys come up to me just saying, hey, they supported me, they're behind me, and Coach Joseph had a game plan that really made it easy to ease me into a system, and threw some routes in there that were pretty easy to throw and had a pretty effective throwing day. Had some great receivers. I know Kendrick Lee had a big day receiving. Offensively, we're able to move the football, and you're right, the rest was history. And, you know, went on to be co-champs of the conference that year. And, again, just the support of my family, my friends, my coaches, and teammates was just overwhelming.
And added a championship, an outright championship the following year, and a chance to win another one in 98. But when you look back at your career at Southern Miss, what sort of stands out?
You know, a lot of things do. One is, you know, the two championships. You know, the co-championship in 1996, not winning it outright, really made us focus and work harder in 97. And 97 was a special season for many different reasons. Just an undefeated conference season, a Liberty Bowl win against Pittsburgh, a game where we really dominated in all phases of the game. And that's something that, as I look back, that's always going to be one of my biggest moments. Again, the first start at East Carolina and then the Liberty Bowl, probably my two favorite games ever.
Lee Roberts, who's a former Golden Eagle quarterback and a Southern Miss Hall of Famer, also my partner on our radio broadcast of Golden Eagle football. All right, let's jump ahead. There's so much we could talk about. Let's jump ahead to the radio thing now. How did that come about? Had you had some interest in that? And I know your dad had done some of that in his lifetime. So how did that in your mind sort of come about to become the analyst on the radio broadcast?
You know, I had done some PA work for one of the local high schools, had filled in and did some just two games on the radio with local high school, and just really loved it. And then, you know, obviously the opportunity, one, you and Vic just kind of having that that same idea that I would be the guy that would replace Vic Purvis. And, you know, to be able to step into the booth with you, with your experience, your knowledge and expertise, and then to follow Vic, I was super excited about that opportunity. But, yeah, it's kind of runs in my family, and I'm looking at my four boys now. Hey, will one of them kind of follow in the footsteps? And I can see one of them possibly, but who knows? But my dad did a lot of PA work, did some radio and TV stuff as well, and it's neat to kind of follow in those footsteps.
When you think back now, after you've done the job for a number of years, what's been the hardest part for you? What's been the easiest part? And maybe what's the best part about it?
You know, I'd say the hardest part was just, one, just not much experience. I mean, people ask, hey, did you and John practice? And I'm like, no, we really didn't. We just kind of showed up that first game. We'd talked, we'd prepared, and it's really about the preparation. And two, you get the opportunity to talk about the game you love. You're watching a great game. You get to kind of explain it to the radio listeners. And, you know, what makes me feel good is when I hear people say, hey, you guys are doing a great job. Y'all really make it a visual thing for us when we're listening to the radio. And that's really my plan and the purpose. But it's been great. I'm in my seventh year, you know, obviously getting to work with you and Bo Morgan on the sideline. Just a great team.
Hey, talk a little bit about this Will Hall Golden Eagle Ball Club. Eagles have, I guess, a couple of games remaining here in the regular season, just a few games left in the regular season. What's your thoughts on this Golden Eagle program and the future with Will Hall in control?
Well, when I knew he was the guy that was the projected new head coach, I knew it was a great opportunity. Obviously, Jeremy McClain, you know, did his research, did his homework. You know, what he did, what Coach Hall did at Tulane coming in here last year and putting it on us at our home turf, I knew that was going to be a guy that, you know, could run an offense and do the things that we wanted as a Southern Miss team. And, you know, he's really impressed me in so many different ways as a head coach. One, just kind of facing the adversity that he's faced this year. It's been a tough year. He knows it. Everybody knows it. Just things really haven't gone our way, whether it's been, you know, guys assigned to transfer, injuries, what have you. But he's kept his focus, and he will. He knows what it takes. He's a Mississippi guy. His dad was a high school coach in the state of Mississippi. There's not many people in different counties throughout the state that they don't know somebody. And he's going to be a great recruiter, and he's shown it already in the class that we have right now and the class that he's going to sign here in December. I just think the future of Southern Miss is great with Will Hall.
I think everybody agrees the future is pretty bright with Will Hall in control.
No, absolutely. And, you know, one, you know, he's a winner. He knows how to win. He's been at different programs, has taken programs to the highest level that they could. He was a great player. He knows how to compete. And I think the kids really buy into his system. And two, they love him. You know, I think he's a great guy. He's a great coach and a great-minded offensive coordinator, too.
All right, well, thanks for reminiscing with us. I know we could go on and on. A lot of great stories we could tell, but we're going to run out of time. But so thanks for being with us today and taking us inside Southern Miss Athletics. And great to have you alongside on the radio, and hope you do it for a long, long time.
Yeah, I hope so as well. And, John, appreciate everything that you do as well.
Well, that's going to do it today. Thanks to all our great guests, former Golden Eagle basketball standout Clarence Witherspoon, now an assistant coach on Jade Ladner's basketball staff, women's soccer coach Mohammed Elzera, and former Golden Eagle football great Lee Roberts. Until next time, this is John Cox, as always, reminding you of the three essentials of happiness: something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. Hope to have you with us next time as we go inside Southern Miss Athletics.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.